16. Giants, Cisthern, and Yeltis.
Like other cephalopods of our world, Noctili secrete an inky substance. Their ink, however, contains toxins capable of rendering a man blind. And if ingested, the ink will swell a man's throat until he dies of suffocation.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 51. Morjadian's heart pounded as he darted up the Barjan ramp, fleeing for his life. Though he was surrounded by a bubble of Barjan, he was not safe. A dreadful cacophony of horrified screams echoed up through the pit. Those crystal vines whipped through the air, reaching for his squad mates.
Was this some sort of trap? He wondered. But why wasn't Ildan's illusion attacked?
Shaking off the thought, Morjadian uttered an incantation. There had to be some way to keep these vines at bay. Blue light shone around his hands, and he envisioned a curved barrier. The Barjan particles flowed from his palms, persisting a few paces beside him. All the while, he and the others continued running up the ramp. Several members of squads 3 and 4 had already made it out of the pit and shouted for the others to run faster. A crystal vine whipped toward Morjadian, passing through the forming Barjan. The vine wrapped around his existing barrier as he finished the incantation. A shield of Barjan magic formed, and Morjadian felt it penetrate the crystal vine. The Barjan cut through the crystal, but not before the vine knocked him off balance. Struggling to regain his footing, Morjadian nearly fell off the ramp, but staggered to a halt.
That was close.
Then, heart pumping faster, he darted up the ramp. Crystal vines flailed through the air as Morjadian cleared the pit and bounded toward the tunnel.
I should block it, he thought.
As he neared the tunnel, a vine swept across the ground and struck his Barjan bubble. Tumbling, Morjadian commanded his shield to drop to the ground. The Barjan shield struck the crystal vine, pinning it in place. Morjadian could feel a resistance as the shield struggled to cut through the vine.
Hurry! A soldier shouted. Into the tunnel!
Morjadian pushed himself up and stumbled after the others, uttering another incantation. He would need more Barjan to bar those vines. Once in the tunnel, Morjadian glanced over his shoulder. The last of the survivors had made it out of the pit, but two of the soldiers were snatched by the vines before they could reach the tunnel. More vines slithered past the Barjan shield, racing toward Morjadian and the others. Soldiers cursed, while several other mages, including Dougal, uttered incantations. Morjadian and the stragglers bounded around a bend, but the vines continued their pursuit. One of the soldiers was snatched and another tripped. Blue light shone around Morjadian as he finished his incantation. He spun, spreading both hands wide. The unformed Barjan shot through the tunnel, bathing it in a dark blue hue. The vines raced through the magic, grabbing more of Morjadian's squadmates.
End of the tunnel, Morjadian thought, envisioning the tunnel's mouth.
If he were going to block the tunnel, he might as well block it there. A vine lashed toward Morjadian, wrapping around his Barjan bubble. It lifted him from the icy floor, but he kept his focus on the forming Barjan. Brown light raced beside him, striking the icy wall. The ice liquefied, then shot toward the vine gripping him. Suddenly, the liquefied ice became steel that shackled the vine. Morjadian jolted and finished his incantation. His Barjan coalesced at the tunnel's mouth, becoming a complete barrier. Brilliant blue light flashed off the tunnel's walls as he and the vine holding him fell to the icy floor. The other vines fell limp, each shackled like the one that had held him.
That was close, Dougal said with a sigh.
Morjadian nodded as he staggered to his feet. Frantic footfalls echoed through the tunnel, and then the man who had been snatched rounded a bend.
Thank you,
the soldier said, rejoining the others. Morjadian nodded. Then a sudden blow struck his Barjan, and he focused his senses through his magic. More vines from the pit were striking his barrier. Though the magic was holding, he could feel it weakening.
Great.
Morjadian shook his head, then glanced to Dougal.
We should block this tunnel further.
Are those vines weakening your Barjan?
Dougal asked, his tone wary.
Morjadian nodded. They're giving it a beating. There's maybe 20 striking it.
Dougal groaned.
Fine. How do you want to do this?
Let's alternate our barriers.
Morjadian turned around.
I'll go first.
The enraged cries grew louder as Amandal rounded a bend in the icy tunnel. Most men would have run from those noises, but not him. The Yeltis were definitely not happy about being awakened. He recalled advice from his father. Woe to the man who wakes a troll. The same could probably be said of the Yeltis. Amandal and his earthen conjurations rounded another bend, coming to another cavern. It was dim, like the tunnel, and he couldn't tell if it was as large as the first cavern. Four other tunnels branched from the cavern, each as large as the one where Amandal stood. The icy floor was uneven, with ledges of varying heights throughout the frozen chamber. Eight creatures covered in white fur were scattered across the cavern, each pushing itself up from the icy ledges.
Yeltis, Amandal thought, eyeing the lumbering beasts. Into the cavern, he commanded his earthen conjurations, and drop the gear, he told the creature acting as his valet.
At that moment, he felt the last of his quintessentials consume Felinia's disintegrating magic.
Come to me, he commanded, and the quintessentials obeyed.
Through his mental bond with his conjurations, he sensed Felinia running beside them.
So you can't bear to let me face them alone?
Amandal grinned and returned his focus to the Yeltis. Five of them looked three times taller than Amandal. The other three were only maybe twice his size. Were the smaller ones perhaps the offspring of the larger beasts? Each of the creatures' faces was covered in bluish-purple leathery skin. Their flat noses topped wide mouths that protruded in an inhuman manner. The larger Yeltis had curved tusks jutting from their thick jaws, each longer than Amandal's arms. An amber substance covered the tusks, and one beast's tusks were more encrusted with the substance than the others. The tusks of the smaller Yeltis were clear crystal, and less than half the length of the larger beasts. As the earthen giant entered the cavern, each of the taller Yeltis glared at the conjuration with blazing yellow eyes. Their faces alight with fury, the five larger Yeltis unleashed bellowing roars that bounced off the icy walls. One of the Yeltis threw itself from its perch, landing on the frozen floor with a resounding thud that shook the icy chamber. The lone Yeltis flexed its six-fingered hands. Its sharp crystalline claws looked like the tusks of the smaller Yeltis.
Six fingers, Amandal mused, like a troll. Well, the tracks they had found in the canyon did look like those of a troll. I wonder if they're cousins.
But trolls looked nothing like these Yeltis. Settling into a wide stance, Amandal whispered an incantation to open a large portal to the Vizirm expanse. The words barely left his lips, but the golden light still manifested. In a flash of movement, the advancing Yeltis lunged at the earthen giant.
Attack! Amandal commanded.
The break in his mental focus caused the golden light to flicker. The earthen giant dashed forward, pulling its arm back to punch the Yeltis, but the beast was too fast. Creature and conjuration collided, and Amandal felt the blow. Amandal sucked in his breath as the conjuration crashed into the frozen ground with a resounding thud. Spiderweb cracks spread across the icy floor and beneath Amandal's feet.
Impressive.
The Yeltis was stronger than he imagined. He willed the other conjurations to attack as the giant recovered. The 10 earthen elementals bounded toward the towering Yeltis, their heads barely reaching the beast's knees. Roaring once again, the Yeltis grabbed the nearest elemental by the head and hurled it across the cavern. Although the earthen elementals weighed as much as 5 men, the Yeltis tossed it like a rag doll. The conjuration hit the icy wall with a resounding crack. Chunks of rock and clumps of dirt fell from its earthen body as it hit the icy floor. All the while, each of the other Yeltis, including the smaller ones, snarled, their mouths frothing. Felinia shouted for Amandal, and the quintessentials darted by, each glowing a violet hue. The faceless creatures bounded into the cavern, forming a line between Amandal and the battle. Each quintessential had their three-pronged hands outstretched, ready to unleash the magic fed to them by Felinia.
I can't believe you, Felinia growled, dashing off alone and without a Barjan.
She began uttering an incantation, but Amandal ignored her, focused on his own magic. His eyes settled on a spot toward the middle of the cavern. All the while, the melee between the lone Yeltis and the earthen elementals intensified. The Yeltis repulsed the smaller conjurations with ease, while engaging in a fistfight with the earthen giant. The Yeltis managed to hold its own against the earthen behemoth. A torrent of footfalls echoed from the tunnel. Kalamir shouted a rebuke, but Amandal ignored him, too. Finishing the first part of his incantation, Amandal unleashed his magic. The golden light zipped past his conjurations, coalescing into an oval portal behind the fighting Yeltis. Why weren't the other creatures attacking? They were just growling and flexing their hands. Letting their rage build? He wondered. Perhaps they only attacked when their anger peaked. Amandal finished the rest of the incantation, mustering the portal's enthralling component. Charcoal light wove through the air. As the enthralling magic zipped over the battle, Kalamir, Dardel, and several other soldiers bounded past Amandal. The soldiers darted around the Kintashals, shouting battle cries. None of them wore their packs. They had probably dropped them in the tunnel. To Amandal's surprise, none of the Kintashals siphoned the magic enhancing the soldiers. Felinia had definitely filled them to the brim. Upon seeing the charging men, the other seven Yeltis bellowed deafening cries and leapt from their perches. The charcoal magic mixed with the golden portal as the soldiers engaged the lone Yeltis. Unleashing an enraged bellow, the beast squatted and swatted Kalamir away. As the commander soared toward the cavern wall, the lone Yeltis kicked another soldier, sending him flying back to the tunnel toward Amandal. Shocked, Amandal tripped over his incantation, causing his portal to flicker. He lunged sideways to evade, but was not fast enough. The soldier and his barjan collided with Amandal's right arm and the side of his torso with a resounding crack. The blow sent Amandal spinning through the air. Being hit by barjan was akin to being hit by a stone wall. Intense heat burned across Amandal's right side, and he struggled for breath. Severe pain shot through his arm and ribs, followed by a surge of cold. After an excruciating moment, he fell on his back, gasping. Amid the pain, he felt his portal weakening. No! Amandal struggled to push himself upright as more soldiers ran from the tunnel into the cavern. It has to hold, he growled, fighting against the sharp pains. With all his might, he focused on the portal, but the enthralling component dissipated. Suddenly, violet light veiled his vision. Surprised, he glanced to his coat. It, too, had a purple tinge to it. An infused barjan? Next time, don't go running off, Felinia said, fists planted on her hips. At least not before I can protect you. Recovering from his repulsion, Kalamir staggered to his feet. That beast had swatted him away as if he were a common pest. If it weren't for his barjan, Kalamir would be dead. Perhaps he was right to fear these monsters. No, he chided himself. Do not give in to fear. Reciting the litany, Kalamir quickly surveyed the battle. The other Yeltis, even the smaller ones, had engaged the expedition in a wild melee. Soldiers and mercenaries alike poured through the tunnel, charging toward the monsters. But the Yeltis near the tunnel's mouth kept repulsing soldier and conjuration alike. In one swift move, the beast grabbed one of Mr. Aramian's conjurations by the legs and used it like a club. The conjuration struggled to break free, but the Yeltis had an iron grip.
Smart beast, Kalamir thought, leaping from the ledge and charging toward the nearest Yeltis.
His new foe grabbed a soldier and repeatedly slammed the man headfirst into the icy floor. The blows caused the soldier's barjan to flicker. He charged, raised his longsword into the air, and readied his shield, both imbued with destructive magics, fire and acid. The soldier in the monster's grasp continued struggling, his barjan fading. Unleashing a battle cry, Kalamir lunged at the Yeltis's right leg, ready to bash with his shield and stab with his blade. Fire sparked the Yeltis's white fur, but before the blade pierced flesh, Kalamir was knocked away. Within a heartbeat, he crashed into the base of a ledge. His barjan flickered, but remained true. Kalamir swore as he regained his footing. Nothing short of ranged assaults would be effective on these monsters. At least he and the soldiers could waylay the beasts long enough for the mages to deal death blows. He readied to charge again as a faint roar, like the first they had heard, echoed from another tunnel across the cavern.
More monsters?
He pushed the thought aside and bounded toward his foe. Before Calamir could reach the Eltis, the monster slammed the soldier into the ground. The man's barjan vanished and a frantic cry left his lips.
"Don't you dare!" Calamir shouted.
In one swift movement, the Eltis lifted the barjanless soldier and slammed the man against the tip of his amber tusk.
"No!"
Calamir cried. A resounding crack filled the air as the tusk pierced armor and impaled the soldier through his gut. Strangled gasps left the man's lips as he convulsed.
"Damned beast!" Calamir shouted.
He lunged, ready to pierce the monster with his sword.
"That should do," Morjadayan said, letting out a deep breath.
He and Dougal had erected three sets of barriers, each composed of a layer of barjan and transmuted steel. Dougal grunted.
"It better do."
"Come on,"
Morjadayan said, turning from the transmuted steel.
"That first barjan is about to shatter."
Both Morjadayan and Dougal hurried back through the tunnel. None of the other survivors of Squads 3 or 4 were anywhere nearby. They had probably rejoined the rest of the expedition. Upon nearing the cavern where the expedition had rested, snarling and grunting noises echoed into the tunnel.
"Do you hear that?" Dougal asked.
Morjadayan nodded, slowing his stride to a creep. Dougal did the same, and the two of them skulked to a bend in the passage. The snarling and grunting grew louder, and Morjadayan peered around the icy corner. Only part of the cavern was visible. White, wolf-like creatures, how many he couldn't tell, sniffed the cavern floor. Each looked as big as a bear and had pale blue horns.
"What are those things?" Dougal whispered.
Morjadayan narrowed his eyes at the strange wolves.
"I have no idea."
Had those strange wolves been tracking the expedition?
"Now this trip just keeps getting better and better," Dougal murmured.
Morjadayan raised an eyebrow at his friend. Why did Dougal have to be such a pessimist?
"Come on,"
he whispered, and stepped around the corner.
"What are you doing?"
Dougal demanded through clenched teeth. The strange wolves quieted. The pack leaders turned toward Morjadayan, undoubtedly hearing Dougal's outburst.
"Well, I wanted to sneak by," Morjadayan said, settling into a wide stance. "But I don't think that's an option anymore."
Hands raised, Morjadayan began uttering an incantation to muster an inverted barjan. Dougal cursed, and the nearest wolf edged across the icy floor. The strange wolf bared its teeth, teeth as pale blue as its horns.
"Is every creature in this wasteland so strange?" Morjadayan thought.
Brilliant blue light gathered beyond Morjadayan's protective bubble as he stepped from the tunnel. He didn't want to be pinned down with no place to retreat. Dougal began uttering his own incantation, the ice and crystal reflecting the brown hue of his transmutative magic. Morjadayan edged into the cavern as he neared the end of his incantation. He hummed the last bit, holding the spell from completely forming. The strange wolf ascended the ramp, looking ready to pounce. The rest of the creature's pack, which numbered 11, crept toward the ramp. The strange wolf's snarl turned into a growl, and it lunged. Morjadayan exhaled the last of his incantation, unleashing his inverted barjan. The brilliant blue light struck the lunging wolf, knocking it backward. The wolf tumbled onto the ramp and rolled over once before the barjan trapped it.
"Stay back,"
Morjadayan warned, then began uttering another incantation. Dougal's brown magic shot past Morjadayan, striking the ground in front of the pack. The ice liquefied and burst toward the nearest wolf. The transmuted ice wrapped around the wolf's forepaws, becoming steel shackles. Frantic, the wolf struggled against its transmuted bonds.
"Hopefully they'll back off," Morjadayan thought.
The wolves continued snarling and baring their teeth. Several began to bark. The barking intensified, and those at the pack's head lunged at Morjadayan. Setting his jaw, he unleashed his inverted barjan and threw himself sideways. The magic struck one of the wolves as he fell over the side of the ramp. One of the wolves soared past him, bounding straight for Dougal.
"Into the center!"
Mordredain shouted, crashing into the cavern's floor. As he regained his footing, another wolf lunged at him, knocking him backward. The creature's claws dug into the Barjan, and Mordredain felt his barrier weakening. How was that possible? Could the creature's claws somehow negate magic? Tumbling back onto his feet, Mordredain uttered another incantation, and the wolf lunged again. Mordredain threw himself sideways, landing on the ice, but his Barjan took the brunt of the blow. The wolf spun and lunged again.
Great, Mordredain groaned, his spell flickering.
The wolf clashed with his Barjan once again, weakening the barrier further. Subduing these creatures wasn't going to be easy. Despite the sharp pains in his arm and side, Amandal managed to manifest more conjuration magic. A cacophony of incantations, clanking armor, and thunderous footfalls echoed into the dim cavern. The reinforcing soldiers bounded past Amandal and Felinia, joining the battle with the enraged beasts. The mages, however, took up positions around Amandal, each surrounded by their own kinds of magic. Charcoal light, tinged with purple by the Barjan cast by Felinia, flowed from Amandal's hands and over the battle. As the enthralling component mingled with the portal, several of the mages finished manifesting their destructive spells. An arcanist unleashed a disintegrating blast upon the Eltis fighting Amandal's conjuration. The violet magic beamed above the soldiers, striking the Eltis's chest before any of the other spells. A defiant gasp filled the cavern as the Eltis staggered, a hole burned through its chest. Bright pink orbs of arcane magic, unleashed by another mage, erupted in a blinding flash, veiling a volley of acidic javelins. Though Amandal couldn't see, he felt the earthen conjuration turned club hit the cavern floor. Enraged cries boomed throughout the cavern, some higher pitched than others, undoubtedly from the young Yeltis. As the blinding flash faded, the enthralling component completely merged with the portal. Pushing the pain aside, Amandal focused on a Yeltis toward the back of the fray. The charcoal light oozed from the portal, a reflection of his mental struggle.
"Hold your magics!"
Felinia shouted, gray light clustering about her. Had she cast an enthralling spell? Amandal had been too consumed by the pain to keep track of her. Battle cries reverberated throughout the cavern as the slain Yeltis collapsed in pieces on the icy floor. The enraged cries from the remaining Yeltis turned to lamenting wails. Had the beasts some semblance of a sense of loss? The Yeltis corpse was a mangled mess, acid eroding its fur. The beast was missing its head, and all that remained were bits and pieces of its tusks. In response to Felinia's command, several of the mages held their magics, humming their incantations.
"Attack the smaller ones!" Felinia shouted. "Avoid that one in the back!"
She had probably seen the enthralling trail oozing from the portal. Amandal focused on the Yeltis farthest away, the one with the most encrusted tusks. A small group of soldiers, including Dardel and Hebeseer, were attacking that particular Yeltis, but none of the soldiers or mercenaries managed to land a blow against the beast.
"Hopefully it stays unmarred," Amandal thought, gritting his teeth against the pain in his side.
More soldiers were running to reinforce Dardel, but most were attacked by the smaller Yeltis, the juveniles, Amandal assumed. They were just as brutal as their parents.
"Come on," Amandal strained against the pain. The charcoal magic was halfway between the portal and the battle. "Ignore the pain."
An all-too-familiar scraping echoed through the tunnel, the reanimated claws of the cistern scratching the icy floor. Out of the corner of his eye, Amandal saw the glistening wolf-like skeletons pouring into the cavern, as well as more soldiers and mercenaries.
"Why are you waiting?" Uldric demanded.
"Oh,"
Felinia shouted to the necromancer,
"focus on the smaller ones."
A surge of pain jarred Amandal's concentration.
"Enthrall,"
Amandal groaned, focusing on the gray magic. He couldn't lose the enthralling component again, but it took all his concentration just to maintain the portal. Incantations sounded all around him, and the noise of battle rang through the cavern. Focus, Amandal chided himself. He strained to reach the Yeltis with the enthralling magic, but the gray particles hardly moved. As he struggled, a gray cloud shot from Felinia and raced through the cavern. Her enthralling magic struck the Yeltis, abruptly stilling the beast as it swung a fist toward Hevesir.
Amandal, Felinia shouted, hurry! I can barely hold it in place!
Forget the pain, Amandal told himself.
He did his best to focus on moving the portal's enthralling magic, but it merely crept through the air. Felinia shouted to the soldiers, but Amandal ignored her cries. Amid the struggle, advice from his father entered his mind. If you are ever struggling to capture a creature and your concentration is strained, relinquish control on your conjurations. Amandal strained to move the enthralling magic, but it hardly budged. If he was going to capture this Yeltis, he would have to sacrifice his conjurations. Gritting his teeth against the pain, Amandal released the earthen creatures and the Kintashals, severing the mental bond to them. With his concentration solely on the enthralling magic, Amandal managed to move it toward the Yeltis. After an excruciating moment, the Yeltis came under his control. A battle of wills entered Amandal's mind as the magic permeated the beast. He also felt the resistance Felinia had mentioned, as well as her mental struggles.
Move!
Felinia's thoughts echoed in Amandal's mind.
To the portal,
he commanded, focused on moving the creature's legs. Deafening bellows echoed in Amandal's mind, but the Yeltis turned from the soldiers. As it lumbered to the portal, a faint roar echoed from a tunnel to the right.
Mages, watch those tunnels, Felinia shouted.
Amandal closed his eyes, focusing on the Yeltis. He couldn't quite see the portal, but he could feel it. Each step was painstaking.
Reach for the portal, Amandal said through clenched teeth.
He meant those words for Felinia and the Yeltis. He could feel the Yeltis raising its arms. Rumbling reverberated beneath Amandal's feet as a deafening roar shook the cavern. Pained cries from man and beast echoed off the icy walls.
Focus, Amandal gritted his teeth. Touch the portal! Amandal shouted, straining his will.
The Yeltis was almost there. Just another step. The struggle abruptly ceased as the Yeltis was instantly transported to the Vizierm expanse.
Finally,
Amandal said with a groan and opened his eyes. The pain intensified and he fell to his knees. Dreadful sounds reverberated throughout the cavern. Battle cries, eruptions of magic, deafening roars, clanking armor. Amid the terrible cacophony, pained cries echoed off the icy walls, cries of dying men. Amandal blinked several times, reorienting himself. His conjurations were running amok. The Kintashals had expended most of their magic, attacking man and beast alike. Several of his earthen conjurations had been snatched by the Yeltis and used like clubs. Those elementals that hadn't been turned into cudgels were roaming aimlessly through the cavern. The earthen giant was the only one still attacking the Yeltis, though its punches were sloppy. The six remaining Yeltis were injured in some way, but they still attacked the soldiers and mercenaries with relentless fury. The beasts repulsed the men and women while tearing apart the reanimated cisterns, but the necromancer's magic re-knit the skeletal creatures as soon as they were torn apart. Barjans had faded from several of the soldiers, and two of them were on the ground convulsing in a pool of blood. Each of those convulsing men had holes in their coats and armor. Had the Yeltis impaled them with their tusks? Horrified screams echoed through the crystal cavern beneath the pit. Appalled, Ildin watched through his illusion as those vines, or tentacles, or whatever they were, pulled the last remaining members of squads 3 and 4 toward the far side of the crystal cavern. Why hadn't the strange vines attacked his illusion? A deafening roar shook the icy cavern, coming from the massive maw of the crystallized creature housed within the cavern wall. During his first descent into the pit, Ildin had mistaken the creature's mouth for a boulder or outcropping. He couldn't have been more wrong. Those grasped by the vines struggled to break free. Soldiers sliced at the crystal limbs, but their magically enhanced weapons did little damage. The crystal maw gaped wide, large enough to swallow a house. Then the thing, unleashed a second deafening roar, and in one swift motion it tossed the men and women into its crystal maw.
"No!" Ilden moaned.
Though his illusion hovered within the cavern, Ilden slumped to his knees inside the dim tunnel, overcome with sorrow. Vaim and few others stood nearby. The sounds of battle with the Yeltis echoed into the tunnel, and Ilden set his jaw. How are they going to reach the gatehouse now? From what he had seen, the expedition would have to pass that crystal monster. There were no other tunnels that connected to the chamber housing the doors to the gatehouse. If they descended the pit, then the expedition would suffer the same fate as squads 3 and 4. Another roar shook the cavern beneath the pit. Not a moment later, a fainter roar echoed into the dim tunnel where Ilden knelt. That roar, however, came from the cavern where the expedition was fighting the Yeltis.
"That can't be right," Ilden whispered,
spinning his illusion around. Through his magic, he eyed the only other tunnel in the cavern beneath the pit, the one to the east that was partway up the cavern wall.
Could they be connected?
What were the chances of that? A connection between the Yeltis den and the pit would be nothing short of miraculous. Ilden closed his eyes, focusing his senses through his illusion. He strained to hear the sounds of battle, but the noises didn't reach the cavern beneath the pit.
"I might as well look," he said, and willed his illusion toward the tunnel.